of it that he's going to provide to me later, but it's based on the map that you see up there. It's, what is it, 1.4-1? All right.
Tracker, have you have an idea of what this will be marked as an exhibit? Is it 2 or 3 or?
It'll be 3.
Okay, thank you.
Please continue, Mr. Merrill.
Okay, so to look at my remarks that I've written in this document, in broad summary, as they say, they concern three things. Is that, number one, the overall mining plan is going to really, it's going to really abate, follow up, make very hard to carry out agricultural operations, especially in the South Hart branch, in the South Branch Hart River Valley area. Two, that the it's going to place these waters, primarily mine pit waters, but other but runoff waters also running off of these high sodium mine spoils into holding ponds, and many of these holding ponds are located, especially for the most active pit. The active pit number one is the pit that you see. That sort of has the triangular sort of irregular shape right
He's
there
in the pointer.
Middle. Okay. Here's the most active pit. And I say this is the most active pit because this is the pit that is scheduled to be mined between 2014 and 2021. In the relative here and now. So most of my remarks really refer to this pit. And in particular, several holding ponds are going to be located right in the South Branch Valley here, and presumably they'll be lined, et cetera, et cetera. But there is really great concern about the fusion of the waters, especially pit waters carrying various heavy metals, so forth. The third element of my remarks concerns the ability to reclaim this whole pit from one side to the other over the course of its active mining period of 2014 to 2021, given the rules for soil depth requirements issued by the PSC, especially the rules as amended from the original North Dakota Act during the 1980s. There's a key table which illustrates these rules, especially with regard to such elements of the soil, the ability of soil to be considered suitable plant growth material, to be suitable to support plants. And in particular, it does not appear from an analysis of from the permit application that there is enough suitable plant growth material, especially in the western side of pit number one. And so there'd have to be a massive movement of materials from one side to the other, of so-called other designated plant growth material. That's plant growth material that is below what we could normally, what the soil survey ordinarily concerns to be the regular soil material. But actually, of all my remarks, I think what I'm going to talk about now is the very greatest concern, the concern that this mining plan is going to really cause a tremendous harm and abatement of agricultural operations in this area. Now, we have to look, when we talk about agricultural operations, the conduct of agriculture, you've got to look at the whole area. And this is an area where mixed agriculture is the most predominant in the the type of agriculture that works the best. By that we mean mixed crop livestock agriculture, where crops, grass, corn, alfalfa, et cetera, are fed to animals. A lot of this land in this area is not, it's not prime farmland. In fact, it's far from that type of land. So given that aspect of the of the agricultural potential of this area, having a alluvial valley where you can provide alfalfa, sub-irrigated alfalfa, corn, and other types of crops to livestock and carry on this probably the best form of agriculture, mixed crop animal agriculture, indicates that any abatement of this by the mining operations encumbering this valley, in particular, building massive haul roads through the valley, having dewatering ponds in the valley, having some stockpiles, having a large operations. This particular map, I don't think, shows where the operations building is going to be, but it's up in here someplace, this huge operations headquarters. And that was probably the most serious of my remarks. And this active pit, from pit number one, 2014 to 2021. Well, we see the overall plan, we see actually five designated pits. After pit number one, we're going to have pit number two that's scheduled to be, proposed to be mined from 2021 to 2038. And then we see pit number three. This is scheduled to be mined only for a shorter, much shorter period of time, from 2038 to 2040. And pits number 4A and 4B, scheduled to be operated between 2040 and 2042. And finally, we have pit five out here, which is a long time from now. But in broad generality, it appears that there's an Asian game called Go. And one of the principles of the game of Go is to stage your markers so that you gain dominate a given territory and prevent your opponent from holding that territory. Now, I'm not saying that agriculture is the opponent of mining. Obviously, we have to have coal mines, and there are coal mines. I'm not saying that, but in this particular case, it appears almost that these pits right here give the appearance of being sort of a territorial holding pattern, so that this valley is secured. And if there has to be a mine here, and that's a big if, then the public would be much better served if and yes, putting operations in alluvial valleys is a terrible sacrifice that I don't think the public should be asked to bear. But this area right in here, which is probably does have alluvial valley, has some aspects of alluvial valley, might, if an area has to be sacrificed, and I don't think that needs to be sacrificed either. I just don't understand why a plan can't be worked out so that this large area here, so the operations are kept out of alluvial valleys, even including this alluvial valley right here. And I guess that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Merrill. Ms. Lesueur, did you want to make
just
any
a
closing
few concluding
comments?
Remarks? Thank you. In light of the many serious issues raised by coalition members, from inaccuracies in characterization of the proposed mine site to policy issues that need to be addressed by the PSC before permitting new mine sites, the coalition urges the PSC to reject South Hart Coal's application at this time. In an area that relies on agriculture and tourism for its economic stability far more than it has ever relied on natural resource extraction, the risk of permanently damaging outcomes from this project is too great. The inability of South Hart Coal to produce an application that complies fully with state and federal law after more than a year and multiple attempts remains a serious concern. With the current version of the application, there are unresolved questions about uranium, oil and gas development at the site, protection of historic sites and artifacts, correct and complete documentation of groundwater hydrology, probable hydrologic consequences, wetland mitigation, and replacement requirements and plans for all affected water sources, an unconditional commitment by the applicants to full water replacement and any associated costs, like new plumbing or pipeline infrastructure, should also be included in any final permit. Full public awareness of potential water impacts also requires a plain language public summary with baseline quality, quantity, and location information. Members of the public shouldn't have to sift through hundreds of pages of technical data or hire consultants to explain the risks to the river they fish in or irrigate from or the lake they boat on. In sum, while these voices are saying that this is the wrong place for this kind of project, the risks too great, the impacts too severe and long-lasting, this kind of public process exists to give weight to these voices. We thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Lesur, and you've indicated that the bulk of your presentation will be tonight, approximately five or six witnesses? Or?
That's correct. I think we have another... another eight presentations, and there may be a few more. These are the ones that were that I was notified of in advance.
Thank you, Ms. Lesur.
Thank you.
Again, I'm going to ask if there's any person in attendance today for today's session that is not associated with the presentation Ms. Lesur is making, Dakota Resource Council and Sierra Club, and that is not associated with the applicant who wishes to present information to the commission. Is there anyone present? I asked earlier and there was no one. Anyone come in since that time that wishes to present information at today's session? I will say it again then that our session is going to shortly recess, although I'm going to ask Mr. Bender if he has any comments he wants to make at this point, but we're going to shortly recess apparently and then reconvene at 7 o'clock tonight when the bulk of the presentations will be made by Dakota Resource Council and the Sierra Club, the coalition, I guess it's referred to. And then we'll open the floor again for public testimony if there's any public testimony to be given, and then the response comments will be given by the applicant at that time. And again, we will reconvene at, I believe it's 9 a.m. on the 29th, if necessary. If for some reason there's an indication that we haven't completed this portion of the informal conference tonight, we will reconvene at 9 o'clock, same location, if necessary. And again, I want to remind you that this is only the first part of the informal conference. After the application is complete, we will be scheduling a second informal conference, probably in late summer or early fall, give or take. Mr. Bender, did you want to make any comments in response at this time?
No, South Hart Coal has nothing at this time, Your Honor. We would, however, reserve our opportunity to comment on the things that were mentioned today as well as what happens this evening.
Right. And you've indicated prior to the hearing today that you're probably going to have a couple hours or so of response, possibly, maybe more?
Likely.
All right. All right. Considering the circumstances, then, we're going to recess until 7 o'clock tonight. We will begin promptly at 7 o'clock, so we'll see you all then, or some of you at least.